Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, implications of the yield curve. What I want to do here, first I'll show you the screens, and then I'm going to show you, I found the buried site where the Treasury is still reporting the day-to-day yield curve and on government debt. And I've put it up, rolling marquee, in my podcasting website, and I'll put it in the resources this weekend. But first, just a quick look at the numbers to see where we are going into the weekend. Going to Yahoo Finance here. As you can see, we've got a bear day going on. Whoops, let me turn on the, now as you can't see because I didn't turn on the projector. But we do have a bear day going on. And it's actually beginning to get concerning because there is quite a bit of nervousness about the potential for a conflict. The truth be told, that the war has already started in Eastern Europe. Stories coming out, shelling. There are reports of forward bases, Russian forward bases, already in the Donbass region of the Ukraine. And there are three separate forces going to come out, getting ready to come into Ukraine from the north in Belarus to attack Kiev. So, yeah, we're going to have a war, it looks like. And that's concerning the West right now, and that's concerning the markets, because that means it's not going to be a fun war where we get to make a lot of money off it. It's going to be a bad war that could lead to something, a wider conflict that might end up, although the talk of that is premature, there are some who are mentioning this could be the next world war. So that's making the markets a little bit on the touchy side today. As you can see, the Dow is down, not too bad, not as bad, it's 0.81. And then, of course, the Standard & Poor's, being somewhat more risky companies in the index, that's down more than 1%. And then the NASDAQ, the riskiest, most volatile, are down 1.6%. So it's just a classic, this is a day of risk, and the risk is greater with the smaller the collection of companies. No doubt about it. Crude is taking a whacking early, but it has recovered. It's almost back to where it was at the start of the day, but we'll see where it goes. If there is officially a declared war, most likely crude will skyrocket. That's just the way it will be. But right now, there's almost a wait-and-see attitude in the hydrocarbons market. Interestingly, in riskier times, you would see gold being a haven, but it's not. So what we do see is 10-year bonds. The yields are going down. That means the prices are going up. In other words, investors are bailing out of equities, and they're taking the money from cashing out of equities, and they're going in and they're buying bonds, a classic flight to quality. Again, now that one will be in some way, shape, or form on the exam. And that's just a typical flight to quality. Stocks are being sold off, and the money's going into bonds. The bond yields are going down. That means prices are going up. That means there is buying of the bonds. I think if I say that enough times, it will become sort of automatic to you by the time you get to the exam. Interestingly, the Financial Times last night, what started out in kind of a chipper mood, but then the story started coming in of the shelling and other things that were happening over in Eastern Europe, and that spooked the British. British have a little bit of a touchy memory when it comes to conflicts on the continent turning into a nightmare for them, what with V2 buzz bombs and all that. So they get really concerned about those kinds of conflicts. Nikkei, on the other hand, they're on the other side of the world. They started out really down. Do you see that? And then there was something that really excited the market, and it made a nice little recovery. It didn't fully come back to flat, but there was clearly some information that got impounded in the prices of the Nikkei 225 fairly quickly, and it came back. Okay, now I want to show you something here. I've got it over on my own website for a podcast right now. Give me a second to go over there and let you see it. ISU-PROF.com. And I still have students wanting to know where it is in ReggieNet. Okay, here it is. Now, a couple of things. Over here in the scrolling marquee, that, like I said, that's where I'll put information like mentions of websites and things like that in class before I get them into your resources tab. But right here, for one thing, you can click here and you'll get the dynamic yield curve that I showed you yesterday. There, that's where it is. And of course, you can, you would obviously want to bookmark this for future reference to keep an eye on what's going on with the potential for a recession. You notice here that we had a slight recovery of the inversion here. This inversion still appears to be there, but the inversion that I was showing you yesterday, where this was almost perfectly flat, it's not there today. Now, that's why we go over here, and like I said, this was an easy place to find for a long time, for years, and then it was just vanished, and I finally found the web page at the Treasury, U.S. Treasury Department. Here's what I was talking about. You can see all of the maturities for all of these days across here. Now, you don't need to, this is a ridiculously long URL. Trust me, I'll put it up in the web links and resources, and also you've got it in the my podcasting site, too. But this is definitive, and you can go back. I mean, if you want to, you can even download this file for years. I mean, you can get the data. Like, for example, I could look at all of 2022, if I wanted to. And there we'd see it since the beginning of the year. You could go back years and years, if I won't do this. But do you see how you could take this back, all the way back to, you could say all, show me all of them. And that'd give you like more than 30 years of daily treasury. And then you could just actually kind of like, put that into a graph of your own if you wanted to, a 3D graph in Excel, if you know how to do mad tricks like that. And you can download, like I said right here, you can download the Excel file and then just do whatever you want with it. This is kind of a good thing for some of your courses where they have term papers, where you need to do financial things. This is a nice little thing to have there. That's why I wanted to find it again. But anyway, let's go down here. I want you to look here, and I'm going to take you into February. Do you see how you had a fairly clean rising yield curve until here? As a matter of fact, going back, we've had a tail inversion for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it went back into 2021. I was looking at it last night. It was going clear back there. There's a tail inversion there. And it's just been sitting there quietly trying to be quiet, but it's been there all along. And you see it just holding that tail inversion. Now, if you look along here, a few days ago, let me get it back up here. Okay. 3, 5, 7, there's the 7, 10 vectors. 3, 5, 7, 10. Okay. Now, if you look, there was on the 5, 7, or that's a 7, I hope that's, no, that's a 7, 10, good. Okay, 7, 10. You see that there was only 3 basis points separating the 7 from the 10. So that wasn't an inversion, but it's awfully close. It's awfully darn close. Especially when you look at the 10 to 20, you've got nice jump, which you don't have here. You've got a very tight move. And then it went to 4, and then to 3, and then it got to 2. There, you see that 2? And there's where it got scary. It went to 3-3 and then 2-2. It flattened completely. And since then, it has recovered a little bit. So no, there was not an inversion there, but it flattened completely out. It tried to invert in the 710, but it didn't quite pull it. But all along, it's been inverted in the 20-30. Now, I'm going to take that. There might be some technical reason why that had happened, but it still concerns me that that's truly an inversion. A longer rate, a yield that's below a shorter rate yield. So, I mean, yeah, we have got all the conditions that are calling, here comes a recession. And so how bad would it be? Well, if we get, right now, look at this. Wow. Those two are pulling apart. We got a 3-3. Yeah, they pulled apart the 3-3. Let me look at this. Yeah, there's no chance of a 10-20 inversion. They're way apart. But this is still concerning me in here. It's holding it. It was flat. See, if that had been 197, that would have been an inversion. But it never did it down there. So we're still out of an inversion in the intermediates. That's usually where you see the inversion, is in the intermediates, 5, 7, 10. It doesn't want to do it there, but still looks like a recession is coming. Is it going to be a bad recession? Well, that's an interesting question. There's some reason to believe it actually might not be a bad recession. Several reasons. One is that there is a lot of slack capacity still in production. Factories, people who can get jobs, and that could keep the economy rolling, even if the Fed jacks up interest rates a lot. By the way, let me show you something there. Look at the one. Look at the 1 year. Do you see how the Fed is already beginning to tighten the money supply? Do you see the price of the 1 year going up? That real rate plus the expected inflation premium. Now, some of that could be the expected inflation premium going up. But day to day, that's telling me that it looks to me like the Fed was cranking on the money supply, cranking it down. But it has eased back a little bit here. I heard, rumors they're worth what you pay for them. And I pay nothing for my rumors. There is a rumor that the Fed was tightening the money supply, but it got a couple of numbers that scared the hell out of it. That when it was tightening up here, see this? See how it was tightening it up? Some numbers started coming in that were a little spooky, and so they go, okay, nope. It's sort of like when you're defusing a bomb, everything's going okay, and then all of a sudden you start hearing, that's when you stop defusing the bomb and you sort of step back, put the wires back where you found them. That might have been what's going on there. The Fed's trying to figure out what the effect, what was it that caused the rate to do what it did and to other numbers. But you still see, it's obvious that R sub F is going up. Now, R sub F could be going up because the real rate of return is going up. It could also be going up because the expected inflation premium is going up. Either of those could be causing it. Over a short period of time like this, the expected inflation premium should not build that fast. So this is most likely real rate of return showing some muscle. This is the thinking that we do. And on a midterm exam, I would not expect you to be able to do this. By the time we get to the final, I wouldn't do full analysis of the Federal Reserve's actions on interest rates. But I would ask you a little more on the final than I would on the midterm about this kind of phenomenon, what we're seeing right now. But I would, and this is my last piece of candy before I let you take the quiz that's open, I will, on the midterm exam, give you four pictures of yield curves, and I'll ask you a question about them, okay? I'll give you four pictures of yield curves, and I'll ask you a question. It's sort of like visual, how good are you at visually extracting information from a graph, which is a huge skill set for you that you have to have when you obviously get out there in your professional work. So I will do one of those. And that's a piece of candy for you today. It can't be that hard. I'll probably show you something. Oh, which one of these is an inverted yield curve? Or which one of these is a normal yield curve? or which one of them is completely ridiculous. It couldn't be a yield curve because it looks like Snoopy. I did that once, and I got in trouble for putting a picture of something stupid in one of them. Students said it confused them. Anyway, okay. You have a quiz. It's open now. You have 15 minutes for it. Jump on it, and that's all I have for you today. I thank you.